Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Degenerate into something fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do.
Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling, most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. I'm the moderator slash co-host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with Eric and Doug, and we're going to be doing kind of a show review slash retrospective on Super Brawl 2. Eric, how's it going?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Can't complain. I'm doing well.
And here's your brother right now. Hi, Doug, again.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Nothing much. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
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 So, before we get into it, the Dirt Sheet dudes, make sure to check them out on Friday nights as well. Also, make sure to check out the Old School Wrestling Facebook group. Make sure to check out Unscripted Wrestling on Facebook and Twitter. And make sure to check out another group I'm running with my buddy, The Comedy Bard, on Facebook. It's
okay.
Funny as shit, so make sure to follow that. Also, we have our Wednesday Night Wars episode, and it's going to be a special edition Sunday because it's the end of the month for fantasy wrestling, so whoever won me is going to be revealing who their two trains are going to be.
Oh, boy.
So we got
I'm scared
for that.
You don't know it's going to be you yet. It depends on what happens.
It's going to be me. But, yeah, so let's get into Super Bowl 2, guys. Doug, paint the picture for us going to the event. Some of the big feuds.
Okay. So the main event of Super Bowl 2 was Lex Luger versus Sting for the world title. And Lex Luger was the champion, Sting was the challenger. Back at the end, and I think we kind of talked about this on our Starrcade 91 episode, where Luger, before the Starrcade 91 event, actually paid some guys to injure Sting. And then he did a job on Sting himself, and it actually cost Sting the U.S. title.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Sting actually, you know, when he won Battle Bowl, which is Starrcade 91, which if you go into our archives, you know, you'll be able to find it, and we reviewed that. With Sting winning Battle Bowl, he technically won the right to challenge Luger for the title at Super Bowl.
Right. That was the rules?
That was his prize. It was technically unofficial, but basically because he eliminated Luger to win, and Jim Ross kind of hinted to it that, you know, the match should be signed at the end of Starrcade. You know, WWE matchmakers were just like, okay, well, fuck, let's do it. So that was a big one. Huh?
So it's definitely the biggest program going into the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lot of – there was, you know, other feuds too. You know, you had the Ricky Steamboat, Rick Rude feud, which this basically – I mean, the match they had at Super Bowl only – you know, it kept the feud going.
You
had the Steiners taking on Arn Anderson and Beautiful Bobby, but basically that was just kind of – thrown as the Steiners had a legitimate claim to the titles because they were stripped of them last July or the July before. They never lost the titles. So it's just like, okay, they never lost the title. So they are rightfully the number one contenders. And then you had, you know, the issues between Larry Zbyszko and Barry Windham. When Barry Windham, when Larry Zbyszko crushed the hand of Barry Windham in a car, the October before at Halloween Havoc.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, Doug, you forgot to mention why we are doing this tonight too.
Did I? So I probably should then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, we're doing this episode tonight because the pay-per-view took place on February 29th, 1992. And tomorrow, of course, is February 29th. You know, and tomorrow a pay-per-view takes place. Tomorrow's
yep.
Revolution pay-per-view will be only the second pay-per-view to take place on the leap day.
Wow. And obviously first time since 92.
Yeah. First time since 92 and only the second time ever. So that's why we're doing
wow.
it. So that's why we are doing the show. I mean, unfortunately, we had to sit through this fucking thing.
Yeah.
I'm actually still watching while we're talking.
I actually watched it earlier today, and it was better than what I expected. Actually, especially a lot of the talent on here. There
yeah.
was a lot of talented guys on this card, you know. I mean, even seeing like
yeah,
Kevin
Nash,
it was kind of loaded. Even though back then it wasn't loaded, but just thinking about the names now and what they became, like DDP's on the. He was in the dark match, and that's DDP, you know. So
exactly.
Yeah, didn't he? He lost the Firebreaker Chip in the dark match, right?
No, he lost to Matt Bourne, Big Josh.
Oh, okay. And another thing that, you know, I think we have to remember for this pay-per-view, this was the first pay-per-view under K. Allen Fry, who was the WCW guy in charge of – he took over for Jim Herd. He didn't last long, but he took over for Jim Herd.
Wow.
And this was also the first pay-per-view that that Jesse the Body Ventura became the color commentator, that Jesse the Body Ventura called as the color commentator.
So a lot of firsts here.
Yeah.
Rodney?
Okay. So let's get
but,
into it. So Big Josh beats DDP in the dark match. None of us saw it, so can't really count that.
If we didn't see it.
Yeah. First match, which probably be a lot of people's favorites. I thought it was pretty good. A lot of early cruiserweight action before they really had a cruiserweight division. Flying Brian
yep.
defeats Jushin Thunder Liger. You know, one of the best cruiserweights of all time. One of the best.
He just retired, right?
Yeah. He just retired, yeah. For the light heavyweight championship. That's WCW's light heavyweight championship doesn't get brought up as much as other belts. Doug, do you think the division kind of didn't even have legs at this point except for these two?
With these two, Richard Morton, Johnny B. Badd, later on in the year, Scotty Flamingo, Brad Armstrong. So guys like that, yeah. But they really didn't have a loaded division yet. I mean, it wasn't until about 96 when the Cruiserweight title was brought in and they had guys from they had the luchadors from Mexico come in.
They had more
right.
of a Japanese presence as well.
Right.
Now, Doug, when did they change it to the Cruiserweight?
96.
Okay. So the lightweight went from lightweight to cruiserweight, right? Or was it
yeah,
just
well, the light
belt?
Heavyweight title was technically disbanded in 93.
Okay. And then they brought back a different version of
Well, because you got to remember, Eric, in late 92, first of all, Brad Armstrong was the champion in late 92, and he got injured, so they had to take the title off. But in late 92, business was going to hell so much, and Bill Watts was losing control to where he was actually – he was firing guys left and right because a lot of the guys were starting to realize – this guy has no idea what the fuck he's doing. They would call him out on it, so he'd say, fuck you, you're gone.
Wow.
So
they had no choice to disband the lightweight division.
Yeah. So it's just like they really – basically what it was they couldn't really afford to bring in more talent from Japan to participate in the, to participate in these lightweight matches.
Yeah.
Right.
But this match was definitely a treat.
It was a really good match. See, I've seen this match so many times to where, like, watching it last night was – like, I really can't get excited about it anymore.
Yeah.
But it was a great match. I mean, it was easily one of the best matches on the card.
Absolutely.
And those two have had a lot of good matches, too.
Yeah. Well, even they wrestled each other this night back in 91. That's how Liger won.
Really?
Yeah. He won it on Christmas night in 91 in the Omni in Atlanta. So this was technically the rematch.
Nice.
Oh.
And they ended up wrestling on the first night of Nitro, too, right?
Exactly.
So a lot of history there.
Yeah.
Do you think Brian Pillman is underrated, Eric?
Yeah, and I think he's very underrated. I think he was very talented in the ring, but unfortunately, his life ended too early. So rest in peace to him. I think it's even his son right now, Brian Pillman Jr., is probably a very talented wrestler too. So.
He looks an awful lot like his father.
He does.
And he's out there at MLW, right, Doug? Yeah, so.
Did they still have the Hart Dynasty?
Huh?
He fired the Hart Dynasty. Not the Hart Dynasty, the Hart. Whatever they call it.
The Hart Foundation,
fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anything else you guys want to add to this match, or?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I've seen this match so many times to where, like, watching it last night, it's just like, oh, well, this is a really good match, obviously. I mean, these two guys worked their tails off. They had the crowd hot, which is what you want. In an opening match, you really want to get the crowd hot because if they're excited after the first match, then, you know, they're going to want to see what's on next. You don't want to put on something that sucks first.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
exactly.
is the next match.
Oh,
when
boy.
Is the next match?
Marcus Alexander Bagwell. So Buff Bagwell against Terry Taylor, who is going by the Taylor-Made Man. This is went a little under 8 minutes. Doug, what was your initial thoughts watching this back?
They tried their asses off to get both these guys over.
Yeah, they did.
And I've really got like this match, even though they did have kind of a feud going. All right, they had a feud going. Taylor, you know, wanted Mark Bagwell to be his protege. Bagwell said no. So then Greg the Hammer came out, like, I think the week prior or a week or 2 weeks prior, and helped Taylor beat the crap out of Bagwell. And so there was a build to this match, but to be honest with you, I didn't think that this match was that good.
No.
I think they tried, but it's just
it
was really hard to get behind this match. Even when I was a kid, because I remember Dad did order this pay-per-view. And we got to see, and I just remember, I think even at 5 years old, I didn't give a shit.
Buff Bagwell was a little too green here for my liking.
Yeah. This is a very young Bagwell.
Well, he's only 21 at the time.
Wow, really? Oh, yeah,
he's 21 at the time. The main reason why he got a job is because, you know, Missy Hyatt thought he was cute. I've told that story before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Terry
Taylor
could work with anybody, though.
Terry Taylor was good. See, Terry Taylor's issue, though, was Terry Taylor was not as good as he thought he was. Terry Taylor thought he was the second coming of Ric Flair.
Really?
Yeah.
He was good, though. He was really good.
He was really good, and he could have really good matches. The problem was is that, I mean, this TaylorMade Man deal was, you know, it was his best attempt at being who he really was.
Exactly.
So the next match on the card, Ron Simmons and Cactus Jack. This is kind of the wild card match. It didn't last too long. Ron Simmons gets the W. Eric, what did you think of this match?
It was over before it started. It was really fast. Before I even got to pay attention, it was already over. But Ron Simmons looked good. Cactus Jack, a young Cactus Jack. And not hard. He wasn't that hard. Was he hardcore in WCW?
He.
Hello? Oh.
I'm having some phone trouble, guys.
Are you?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think it's just my phone.
You know, I was just going to say, I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. You were cutting out for a little bit. All right, keep going.
Yeah, it was a fast match, but it was a good match. Both guys are, as we know, are Hall of Famers. I mean, they're both Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ron Simmons, young Ron Simmons.
I personally liked this match because I thought, you know, it may have been too fast, but they would have more matches, you know, towards the end of the year, so they weren't done.
Yeah, it was just the start of the feud.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this match was just to kind of, just to get them both on the show, which back then, WCW pay-per-views, like, that was a purpose. There would always be guys on these pay-per-views that had no business being on the pay-per-view, but it was just a way to get them on the show.
Exactly.
So,
right. So I definitely think it was a good match. Well, I mean, it's really hard to judge it, but the guys actually, they did have chemistry, even though I know they're not like top rivals when you think of the two, but they both had very good chemistry together.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did. I'll tell you, the cool spot of this match, though, was when Ron gave Cactus the spine buster on the floor.
Yeah.
Or not on the floor, on the ramp. And I'll tell you, though, Cactus never gave a shit.
No, he was a badass.
And then his buddy, Butch.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah. He came back to help, to help Cactus Jack, even though they were kind of feuding, weren't they?
Oh, my God. That whole thing was so fucked up. I don't think Abdullah can make up his mind whether he liked Cactus or not.
Yeah,
that was kind of funny.
It was. That started what? In Starrcade 91, the one we watched. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And it was just, it was so fucking stupid. But it was actually entertaining to watch.
Yeah, it was. For what it was, yeah, it was very entertaining. Oh, we forgot to mention that there was a new broadcast partner for Jim Ross, and his name was Jesse the Body Ventura.
I forget to mention it. I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, he said that.
Okay. Okay.
And I really, to be honest, which is to keep myself out of trouble, I think we can really talk about it. If I say anything, then known for suing people for defamation of character.
Yeah.
And then sues them, but.
Hold on, I'm going to, there you go.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, but Jesse, what?
No, I was just trying to reconnect Doug, because there was a little echo.
Ah.
Okay.
So.
Well, what's the next one?
Well, yeah, we start talking about Jesse the Body Ventura, this whole show goes to hell.
Yeah. That's not getting to that.
So the next match, which I think we've all might have been dreading a little bit, easily maybe the worst match on the card, and yeah, it's ass cheeks. Van Hammer, Doug's favorite wrestler as a kid. Let's just make sure to keep shouting that off the rooftops. And the, who I've actually taken a liking to. With Doug in Washington. Really started to like. What?
You're cutting out.
So are you.
Oh. This show is cursed.
I think that's better.
Hello?
Hello?
Everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
We're fine. You can continue. Sorry,
okay.
Folks.
I forgot what I was talking. Oh, the Z-Man. I was going back and watching the Saturday Nights with Doug. I really started to like the Z-Man a lot. I mean, I know he was kind of a jobber, but he was actually pretty damn good in the ring. You know, he doesn't get any credit, and he probably doesn't deserve any credit. But I thought he was better than most people think. He doesn't get brought up a lot. So him and Van Hammer versus Richard Morton and Vinnie Vegas, who would obviously go on to become Diesel and Kevin Nash and all that jazz. Doug, how bad was this match?
It would have been fine had the match only been like 6 or 7 minutes, but this fucking thing was too long.
Yeah, what about 12 minutes?
Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't even notice it was Kevin Nash.
Hooray.
I mean, here's the thing. I was a huge Van Hammer fan when I was a kid, so I'm sure I liked this match when I was a kid. And I'm pretty sure Dad yelled at me for it. But the thing is,
yeah,
we're here, Dan. Are you not?
No, I think I might. Do you guys want to finish the show? Because everything's just cutting out.
Are you tapping out early?
I'm gonna tap out because I can't hear really.
Okay.
Listeners can enjoy the show, and I can't really hear what's going on, so.
Okay.
All right, guys, we'll see you Sunday. All right, I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah. All right, hopefully. You still there?
Yeah, let's not
Doug?
Get that started.
Huh?
Yeah, okay. No, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? The Z-Man? What match were we on?
Z-Man and Van Hammer versus Vinnie Vegas and Richard Morton.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to this match. I didn't even realize that was Diesel in there. What were you saying about this match yourself?
said it was too long, so it sucked.
Yeah. You probably should have been 5 minutes. You just want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, we might as well.
That is Larry DeVisco versus Stunning Steve versus Wyndham and Dusty Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes,
so,
yeah.
I mean Dustin Rhodes. Dusty or Dustin?
Dustin.
Oops. Dustin Rhodes. Okay. I thought this was a good tag team match. Solid. It was a good story to this. As you said earlier, DeVisco injured Wyndham's hand, so it was a good story.
Yeah.
Good storytelling in this match. I liked it.
Well, besides the main event, which we'll get to, this was actually my favorite match of the show.
It was?
Because I thought it was a good match. It had a good build. It was a really good tag team match.
Exactly.
And the thing is that everybody got their moves in. And I think that's the way, like, tag team wrestling really should be. Is that, you know, you get the heat on a guy for a while, and then the guy makes a tag. And then, you know, Dustin comes in, makes it, you know, and starts beating up the, you know, the heels or whatever. And then you get the heat on Dustin. And then you give Wyndham a hot tag, who's the guy that really deserved to, you know, get the win and all that. So I enjoyed that match. I thought it was a really good match, and it had quite the build on it.
Probably the best build on the card besides Sting and Luger.
Right, because it had a long-term story.
Exactly.
It had a long-term story, I actually really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, it was a fun match. Did they continue the feud after?
Oh, yeah. Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham feuded with the Dangerous Alliance for, like, months.
Okay. But there was no, like, tag team titles in the story. Right?
Not in that storyline, no. Because in that story, because the tag titles aren't in Eaton where the tag champs.
Wow, yeah, the same alliance, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're all part of the Dangerous Alliance.
Paul E.
Yeah.
Now, Paul E. was he at ringside for this one? I know he wasn't at
No, he let Medusa stay at ringside. See, Allen Fry, the guy in charge, was trying to make sure that everything was fair. And in order for everything to be fair, Dangerously couldn't be at ringside at all.
Yeah. Only Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know Medusa was part of the Dangerous Alliance. Was she main manager of one of the individuals, or was she just another manager?
She was basically another manager, but, like, the main reason why she got brought in, and this is actually, like, the way they kind of played it off on TV, they basically brought her in just so she could keep Rick Rude happy sexually.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
I mean, it's not politically correct to say that, but even back then, Rick Rude didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. When she was hot, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised Rick Rude was involved with her. I mean, they didn't date in real life, right?
No, they didn't date in real life. She was married to Eddie Gilbert at the time.
Oh, okay. Wow. Was Rick Rude married?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. Yeah, is Medusa still around?
Yeah. Well, she's still alive.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. But she's not involved in wrestling anymore.
Not really.
Wait. You have any more thoughts on this?
Again, I'll keep saying it was my favorite match on the card.
Yeah, it was really good. And then we had Missy Hyde interviewing Steamboat before his match, which was kind of weird. I mean, she didn't really interview Steamboat. It was his, what would you call
it? Oh, the ninja?
Ninja.
Yeah, and then that's when Medusa slapped the ninja, and the ninja came chasing after her, right?
Yeah, that was funny. And then Missy Hyde was like, I'll stay here. And Missy Hyde
Hyde was kind of cute.
Yeah, she is cute. I wish we had
she's not, but... What?
More, backstage interviewers like that were just fun. She seemed like she enjoyed her job very much. A little bit over the top but...
Well, she enjoyed her job. I think everybody else today just kind of looks at it as a job.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I think some of the backstage interviewers today are, like, absolutely drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah. Who's one in WWE? I forget. Wasn't Brandi Rhodes one at one point?
Yeah, she was. No, she was more the ring announcer.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who. Renee Young was one at one point.
Yeah, I mean, she enjoyed her job.
Yeah. Now she's announcer, one of the top announcers in WWE right now.
Well, she's the host of WWE Backstage.
Oh, yeah, that too. So she moved her way up the company, even though her husband left. Everybody thought she would get fired or get promoted. Get demoted. But that's not here or there. What was next? Next match was the Steiners versus Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton for the World Tag Team Championship. As you said earlier, the Steiner brothers were stripped a couple months. What was it? A few months prior? Or
About six months prior, yeah.
Because of Rick injured his he injured something.
No, Scott had a torn bicep.
Okay. So they were both healthy for this match, and they got their rightful rematch.
See, what happened was the angle that they shot of to where the Steiner brothers were supposed to be taken out. This was like at the Clash the June before.
Mm-hmm.
This was the angle. And here's the thing. The angle was supposed to take out Scott Steiner. The guys that beat up Scott Steiner, Dick Murdoch and Dick Slater, the hardliners, they beat up the wrong Steiner. They were supposed to injure Scott, then went after Rick.
So that's why I was confused who was injured. It was
It was Scott. I mean, Rick was the one that got the hell beat out of him, but Scott was the one that tore his bicep.
Wow. Did he injure that in the wrestling match?
Mm-hmm. He injured it in the match, and they were supposed to – the hardliners were supposed to come out and further re-aggravate the injury.
And
they went after Rick instead.
Was that a mental error, or they just fucking?
I don't think Dick Murdoch gave a shit. I'm not going to say anything bad about either guy because both guys are no longer here.
Yeah.
Even though I was not necessarily a fan of either one. I mean, I like Dick Murdoch. I thought he, especially in Mid-South when he was Captain Redneck, I thought he was kind of cool. Dick Slater never really did anything for me.
Oh, Yeah, I never saw them really. So. But overall, do you like the match? I thought it was a sound match.
It was another good tag team match. And the thing is that, like, with the finish, it was one of those goofed up finishes. Rick gets the powder in his eyes, and then he, he suplexes the referee. It's by accident.
Ah, okay.
Okay. But, because he hit the referee, he has to get disqualified.
Yeah.
Well, the referee wasn't going to disqualify him because, it was by accident.
Yep. When somebody
saw that he had the powder in his eyes. But then when he threw Anderson over the top rope, it's like, okay, fuck that. He's got to get disqualified. Even though the second referee came in and counted the pin.
Yeah. And then it was Nick Patrick that said that gave the DQ, right?
Well, the original referee was Randy Anderson.
Okay.
So Randy Anderson, because Nick Patrick came out and said, all right, guys, what are we going to do? And Randy Anderson says he threw him over the top rope. He has to get DQ'd. So Nick Patrick's like, okay. So that's what they did.
Unfortunately, they didn't win the tag team title. So, and this took place in Michigan, right? Yeah.
It took place in Milwaukee.
Okay. Close to Michigan, where the Steiner brothers are from. That's why they were getting a big pop.
Milwaukee's, it's not far away from Michigan, but it's like a different state.
Yeah. I think they're next door neighbors, actually. It's like us in New Jersey, I think. But they received a big pop in Milwaukee. So.
Well, yeah, because it's the Steiners. Steiners were big wherever they went.
Oh, yeah. They're probably one of the best tag teams, top five tag teams of all time.
Right, especially
if... We could do a show on that sometime, but...
Especially in WCW.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We can actually do a show on that. Best WCW tag teams of all time. Sometime. But we'll talk about that one. Maybe next month or something. But,
okay.
What was that?
The U.S. title
Steamboat. Steamboat versus Rick Rude for the U.S. title. Rick Rude was the champion, right? Yeah. Rick Rude was the champion.
Right.
So, what was the storyline between these two? How did this all start?
Okay. So, the issue here was that at the Clash the month before, Ricky Steamboat and Sting beat Stunning Steve Austin and Ravishing Rick Rude in a tag team matchup. They won the match, but then after the match, Rude and Austin whipped the hell out of Steamboat with a leather belt.
Oh, wow.
So that's basically what started this whole thing.
They had...
And Paulie Dangerously was supposed to be barred from ringside.
Anyway, he never was. Oh, wait.
Technically, he was, but the little swerve at the end.
Okay. Now, was this their first match in the feud, or was this their...
This was their first main match in the feud, yeah.
And Steamboat retained, right? No, Steamboat lost.
Yeah, right. Steamboat lost because of Paulie.
Okay. I think I'm getting to the end of that. So what were your overall thoughts on that match?
I thought it was a really good match. And obviously Rude couldn't win clean. The only thing that bothered me was how much Jesse Ventura was blowing Rick Rude during this match.
Yeah, Jesse was a major heel on this pay-per-view.
and he was always in love with Rick Rude.
Like, aren't they both
he's
from
about
Minnesota?
Yeah, they're both from Minnesota. I mean, he's about as in love with Rick Rude as Corey Graves is with Baron Corbin.
I thought you were gonna say he's just in love with Rick Rude as just as he is himself.
No, I mean, I've always said that Corey Graves is a modern day Jesse Ventura.
Wow, interesting. I mean, yeah, I could see that.
That's not a compliment coming from me because I hate them both.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I said earlier, I don't want to say too much because Jesse Ventura is known for, you know, throwing out them defamation of character lawsuits. The only
right.
thing that's helping my case, the only thing that's helping my case is the fact that I'm not dead yet.
Which one?
No, I said the only thing probably going to save me from not getting sued by Jesse yet.
Okay.
He likes to sue dead people.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So it's a whole. That's what makes him a piece of shit. But it's a whole story that we don't need to get into because, like I said, he might actually make an exception and sue me while I'm still alive.
Yeah, we can discuss that off the air.
Yeah.
What was next? The next match was the world title match for the WCW world title.
Right.
So, as we talked about earlier, this feud started with Lex Luger sending out people to meet up Sting, you said?
Yeah, it came in a deal with mysterious gift boxes. Abdullah the Butcher was the first one. He came out in the gift box and he beat the hell out of Sting. Cactus Jack was the
wow.
second one. Okay. And then the third gift box was actually it was Medusa coming out and doing some stupid belly dancing. And then Luger came out of the box then afterwards and attacked Sting and hurt his knee.
Wow.
So that's what
yeah,
kind of set this feud up. And here's the thing. Back around that time, Lex Luger and Sting were considered the two top stars in the company.
Oh, yeah,
and back when Jim Herd was running things, Jim Herd always wanted the top feud to be Luger and Sting. Like, he had a fascination with both guys.
I could understand that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're both
talented.
big, muscled up, you know, guys. They have, you know, some talent. I mean, they weren't, like, fantastic wrestlers, but they were good enough, especially if they were put with the right guy.
Exactly, and they were both over.
Exactly. So that's what the company was banking on. But also, at that time, Luger was on his way out. And they even built this match as Lex Luger has decided not to make any appearances over a 30-day period. You know, wanted nothing to do, like, would not talk to the media, would not talk to anybody. He basically went into hiding.
Wow.
All right.
He was leaving.
Sting was working a full schedule. Well, Luger only had to fulfill the dates left on his contract. He had two dates left on his contract. He had the Tokyo Super Show on January 4th. He had to wrestle the Great Muta, and then he had the match against Sting. Those were the only two dates left on his deal.
Right. So, what were your overall thoughts on this match?
I thought it was a good match. I mean, it wasn't a 5-star match, but it really didn't need to be. You knew Sting
yeah,
was going to get the title. What?
No, I was saying it wasn't 5-star, but it was good match because of the storyline and not the feud.
Yeah, it had a proper build. I mean, these guys were former best friends.
Yep. That's always a good storyline.
Yeah, so
wrestling.
And it was a good match. I mean, again, I don't think it was – it was one of my favorite matches on the card, but I think – again, I'll still say that my number one favorite on the card was the tag team match earlier with Barry and Dustin versus Abyssal and Austin.
Yeah. Who would – Lex Luger would leave after this. And who would sing feud after this?
Well, he would work some matches with Rick Rude. He would work some matches with Vader. Cactus Jack. He would basically work with the majority of the heels.
Okay. And then he lost the title to – when did he drop the title to?
Vader at the Great American Bash that July.
Oh, wow. So he only had it for, what, 5 months?
Yeah, a little less than 5 months.
Oh, wow. And this was his first title reign?
Second.
Oh, wow. So, what were your overall thoughts on pay-per-view?
You know, it was a good show. I mean, again, some of the matches, you know, a couple of the matches really weren't that great, but you got to think of the time period, too.
Yeah,
even though this
90s.
Is my favorite, this is my favorite time period in wrestling. But even though it's my favorite, doesn't mean that the matches were good. I personally didn't really have an issue with them.
If you as long as you liked it, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if other people didn't. Like,
I mean, I enjoyed this pay per view when I was a kid.
This was my first time watching it, so I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Do you want to, before we head out, do you want to run down the AEW card, which takes place tomorrow, the second ever?
You got it in front of you?
I can bring it up, yeah.
I was going to say, because I'm not on a computer right now.
I can bring it up. Yeah, because that's what we were going to do when, after, there we go, the match is. I'm really looking
forward to this. And then Daniel's phone told us to go fuck off.
just our luck. Let's see. Let's start with. How many matches did they announce? I want to see.
I think there's only 6 matches on this thing, isn't there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6. The 3 title matches and then 3 non-titles. So, we'll start
now,
is
there anything on the buy-in or whatever the fuck?
No, I haven't heard anything. From the website I'm looking at, CBS, they only have the 6 matches. So we'll just predict those, and then they'll probably announce some other matches later. I mean, tomorrow.
Okay.
So I guess the first match would be Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara.
Well, you know who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, Darby Allin. I'm rooting for Darby, too. I think.
Well, Darby's my guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's on your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Does anybody have Sammy?
Brett has him on his bench.
Oh, by the way, John Cena's back.
Yeah, I heard. now, also, let's kind of go through this. You know, as we're going through the card, I got to say this on a fantasy perspective. Well, first of all, they did another episode of AEW Dark tonight because it's the dark before the pay-per-view,
yep.
All right, and Britt Baker won, so you got some points.
So I'm getting closer. Not close enough, but I'll take it.
Well, you're getting closer, and depending on what happened on SmackDown tonight, as far as the matches go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which I think Bayley.
Bayley won.
Bayley lost, or did she win a tag match or lose?
No, they lost.
Oh.
I have Bayley, don't I?
Yeah. I'll get those results tomorrow. But yeah, so but like with the
was.
Whole, huh?
I forgot who my tag team was on SmackDown.
The Usos, I believe.
Well, they won. Or no, one. It was a single match. No, but you'll find out tomorrow. Let's,
like I said, I'll look it up tomorrow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Darby Allin versus Sammy. I think it's going to be a good match. I think there's some good story in this. I think both are very talented. I predict Darby Allin's going to go over on this and win clean. What do you think?
He better. Because, one, I could use the points. And, two, fuck Sammy Guevara.
Yeah. I think Darby Allin should go over in this. He's the face, and I think it should start off. If this is going to be the first match, I think it should start off with a face winning to get the crowd hyped. But he is over. So you think Darby's going to win too?
I'm hoping he's going to win. Yeah.
I think the next match is Dusty Rhodes versus Jake Hager. This is a match build pretty good because wasn't Jake the one that injured Dustin?
Yeah, he broke Dustin's arm.
And Dustin wants revenge. This is Jake Hager's first AEW's match, right?
Correct.
I think Dustin's gonna go over here. I could see interference in this, so.
I was just going to say, do you really think Jake Hager's first match, they're going to let Dustin go over?
I mean, his brother is one of the vice presidents, so.
Yeah, but don't you think they want testicular cancer to go over?
Yeah, I mean, you need a heel to win at some point, so. So you're picking Jake?
Unfortunately.
I know you don't like him either, but I think this could be a good brawl. So maybe the passing of the torch. I don't know, but I like this storyline.
If he's gonna pass Hager a torch, he better fucking light him on fire with it first.
The next match. It's for the AEW Women's Championship. It's Nyla Rose versus Trish Stratlander. You have much interest in this match too, Doug.
I have Stratlander.
So if she wins, you get
I get major points. I don't think she's going to win because they just gave the title to the penis.
I don't think they're going to drop it right now.
I mean, I think they should because, as far as we know, Chris Statlander's never been a man, right?
I don't think she's a man.
Okay. Again, and I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this. If at one time you had a penis, you should not be going for a women's title. I don't care if you don't have it now or what. But you should not be competing in a women's division.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, I guess in 2020, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I get it. Like, you know, they're allowed to have their rights or whatever. Like, they have the right to, you know, in 2020, you know, you should be allowed to have the right to be whatever gender you want to be. I have certain feelings about that, but I am not ready to get kicked off the air and or roasted by a bunch of people that disagree with what I'm going to say, so I'm going to just keep it to myself.
No, I probably have some stuff to say too, but we're not going to go there.
No, we're not going to start that discussion.
Exactly. So we both have Nyla Rose going over, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not into Nyla Rose, so I don't think she's that great, but we'll see.
I don't like her at all.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with what she was or is.
Exactly.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I just can't get into her as a character or as a champion.
Right. So it's got nothing to do. I mean, I have my opinions on the whole whatever. Me not liking her has nothing to do with what she is. It has to do with the fact that she is not good.
Yeah. I agree with that. And now, probably the match that everybody's looking forward to, at least I am, Cody versus MJF. This whole thing started at the last pay-per-view at Full Gear when MJF threw in the towel during the championship match against Chris Jericho and then turned on Cody. And this has been one of the best builds in wrestling, I'd say, in at least 5 years. I don't know if you agree with that, but this build has been really good and really intriguing.
Because MJF knows how to get under people's skin.
Exactly. And Cody's so over with the crowd. He's probably one of the best faces in baby faces in wrestling right now. So, and MJF is probably one of the best heels. I'm looking forward to this match. I think they're gonna have. I think both
guys
are very.
Are you keeping Cody in, or are you gonna take him out?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep Cody. I'm keeping Cody in because I think.
Because you're afraid of what's
gonna
happen with Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but
because technically, if Cody loses, you only lose 2 points.
Yeah.
If Omega
loses,
you lose 15.
Yeah, so I'd rather lose the 2 points than lose 15. So, but who knows? I might change my mind. I have until 8 o'clock. Until what? 8 o'clock tomorrow? I mean, PM tomorrow.
It's at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Okay. So as of right now, I'm keeping Cody in.
Oh, did you give the login information to my idiot brother?
Not yet. I'll text him and I'll message you. I'll text it to you. After the show.
Text it to him. He's the one that's got to type it in.
Okay.
Make him
No,
because
I thought he had phone trouble.
That doesn't mean he can't take a fucking message on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, okay. Duh. So, getting back into this, who do you think he's going to win?
Look, they have it set up to where you think Cody is going to beat the shit out of this guy. I think he finds a way to win.
I don't think it's going to be end of the feud, but do you think Cody should win the first match of the feud, or do you think MJF should win, and then they should build it more where Cody needs that win against MJF at the end?
To be honest with you, I think they're almost heading towards another turn.
For who? I mean, somebody turning on Cody
again?
I
think Brandy's going to turn.
Shit. I thought you were going to say Arn Anderson. Because I heard about that, too.
No, I think it's going to be Brandy.
Damn. That should be interesting.
Well, she's a woman. You can't trust women.
I mean, we can trust some women. I'm not going to mention her name.
Yeah, and even the women that you know that we can trust, they still want to kick us in the balls.
I'm not going to mention her name, but we work with her.
Oh, I'm sure she wants to smack both of us every once in a while.
Probably. If you're listening to this, we're just joking. I don't know what she's doing.
I don't know if she's actually.
Anyway.
I think the only way she'd be listening to this is if we played it for her.
Oh, yeah.
She's still waiting for us to let her to send her the Horowitz interview.
Oh, we never did? Shit, I have to do,
no.
I'll do that next week. Remind me.
Yeah, well, I'm going to remember. Jesus Christ.
I'll put it in my phone. So we both think Cody's going to win. No, actually, even though the Cody's on my bench.
No, I said MJF.
Oh, okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. Even though I have Cody on my team, I think he's going to lose. Because I think they're building up for another match.
Yeah, it's set up so perfectly for MJF to get the shit beat out of him.
Yep, exactly.
But that little fucker is going to find a way to win this fucking thing.
Yeah, and you need one of the big heels to win, either Jericho or MJF. So, because you can't have both Moxley and Cody winning on the same show, can you? We'll get into that in a moment, but
you can, but I don't know.
Yeah. So the next match is for the AEW Tag Team Championship. Kenny Omega and Adam Cole.
You forgot one, right?
I did?
Yeah, you forgot about Pac and Orange Cassidy.
Oh, not on here. Oh, okay. Pac versus Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, so that's the seventh match then, right?
Yeah. It's not on the list, on the page I'm looking at, but. But we can talk about it. How did this just was just put together out of nowhere?
Pac punched Orange Cassidy in the face on Wednesday, and then I guess the match was just kind of made. So this might actually be on the buy-in.
Yeah, this might be in the buy-in, which is not too bad. I think Pac is probably gonna win. I think
well,
they should
Orange
use
Cassidy
Pac more.
Do shit. The guy puts his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
How the fuck is this stupid son of a bitch over?
I don't know. I was gonna ask you that. I guess people are weak. I know I can't say. Yeah, I don't know how he's over, but I'm guessing Pac's gonna go over here. I cannot see for the life of me Orange Cassidy winning against Pac. Yeah,
oh,
Pac
that would be sad. That would be sad if he did.
Yeah, I know, right? He'd probably leave the company again. Yeah, Pac winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Now to the co-main event. I'm assuming it's the co-main event. The AEW Tag Team Championship. Kenny Omega versus Adam Hangman Page, the Tag Team Champions, versus the Young Bucks. Or how you like to say it, Young Bucks. Did I say it right? Yeah.
Yeah, you said it right the second time.
And these are four friends, or no, three friends. I don't know. Adam
three
is really...
friends and a hangman.
And a hangman. Because all four are part of the Elite, but Adam Page doesn't want to be part of the Elite anymore. So he's trying to distance himself.
Yeah, and they're fucking. Here's the thing, and I actually get where he's coming from. You know, even though I know that this whole thing is like storyline or whatever, I can actually relate to Adam Page because, like, he doesn't want to be part of the Elite. He wants to be on his own. He got put into the tag team with Kenny.
And they won the tag team titles.
All right, and they won the tag team titles because they actually are a good team. I'm not saying that they're not. But they got put into this tag team. They won the titles, and you know the Bucks, I think, are jealous of the fact that that those two guys are the champions and they're not. But because Kenny Omega is sleeping with both Young Bucks, he's just like, oh no, you guys should be the champions. You guys should be the champions. And you got Omega saying, but we're the champions, you stupid fuck. Are you saying we shouldn't be?
Right.
I don't want the Bucks to win tomorrow. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that my brother has the Bucks on his fantasy team.
Yeah,
although
I don't want
it is a
I
big
don't...
factor.
Obviously, I don't want them to win either.
I can see Hangman turning on Omega.
Yep, I agree with that. Then that sets up a feud and sets up a match that the next pay-per-view. they have been building this turn for a little while here since they won the tag team titles, even before that. This has been long overdue, I think. Cause I think Paige is a better heel.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we're both taking Kenny Omega and Adam Page?
No, I think it's going to be the Bucks.
Okay. Well, I think he's
going to turn on Omega.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I told you that this morning.
He's going to turn on Omega because what's going to happen is Omega's not going to do anything to the Bucks. Omega's not going to want to hurt his buddies.
Yeah. And then Adam's going to get furious and he's going to probably leave.
Yeah, the only thing Kenny wants to do to him that's rough is stick his toy up both their butts.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Bucks going to win this. So,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know how...
and here's the thing. This is how the fantasy wrestling can work here. So you're down by, I think now you're only down by a total of about 39 points.
Right.
With the Britt Baker win earlier, I think, and depending on whatever happened on SmackDown, all you
right.
technically need is you would need Cody to win. But if both Bucks lose and Moxley loses, Daniel loses a lot of points and you can technically win.
Even if Cody loses.
Correct.
Okay. So the ball is in my corner. So the Bucks need to lose and Moxley needs to lose.
Right.
Well,
I think a win by either one of them.
And
would probably solidify the win for Daniel.
Okay. So I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Kenny and Adam and obviously and Jericho. Well, speaking of that match, that's our final match of the card, the main event. Probably the next most anticipated match on this card. Another great build. Chris Jericho, the champion, the champion, versus John Moxley, probably the biggest face in the company right now besides Cody. Who do you think? How do you see this going?
I want Moxley to win, but
yeah.
I think Jericho is so hot as champion right now. I don't know if you would necessarily want to take the title off him. But I want Moxley
right.
to win, and I think Moxley would be a good champion.
I do, too. I just don't think they're ready to pull the trigger right now. I think they want Jericho to be a champion for at least until Double or Nothing.
I mean, they very well could.
Because I think they want to set up another match where it could be like a cage match or something. And there's
right.
no interference. Because I'm actually afraid that this doesn't end clean. I know you said this afternoon when we were talking that it shouldn't end that way, but I have a feeling they might end that way. But who knows? I think it's going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to this match and all the rest of the matches. I know you are. It's going to be a great card. Chicago. It's in Chicago, another wrestling city. third wrestling.
Right, and I'm looking forward to the show, to our show on Sunday, provided there's no sodomies beforehand.
Yeah. What time are you
going? I'm looking forward to that show
anyway.
Because you know we're going to go over both Super Showdown and Revolution, and then
yep.
we're going to go over the points, and then whoever is the winner of the month will get to make their trades.
Oh yeah, live on the radio. Nice.
Yep, and people are going to be pissed off. I mean, Brett, Clinton, and I do not have a dog in this fight. Like, there's not a fucking chance we could catch him.
So it's between me and your brother.
Yeah.
I already know who Daniel's going to get from my – I think he's going to get Cody from my team if he wins, though. Because I know he's one of his
favorites.
Yeah, but
no, he wouldn't want to give up Moxley, though, would he?
I don't know. I mean, if he won a championship, probably not. Or he could go after AJ. No, he has AJ Styles. Never mind. I don't know. That's a good question. We'll ask him on Sunday if he wins.
Yeah. Well, if he wins, yeah.
Now, what time do you guys want to go on the air? 5 or 6? Or yet to be determined?
We'll say 6 just to be safe.
Just in case something...
Yeah, just in case something happens, because I got that funny feeling. Again, we don't have to get into it here because we don't need to air our work dirty laundry on air.
Nope. I'll talk to Bachman. I'll probably have to send it to him. Not him, but I'm Bachman. Anyway, you have any more thoughts on
Not really. I know I kind of want to save the Super Showdown thoughts for Sunday because we'll review both shows. Because I know you have your thoughts on Super Showdown. I've already heard them.
Yeah.
But I think our public should have the pleasure of hearing them too.
Exactly. It's going to be a fun card. I'm looking forward to Sunday too.
Now, if nobody is in the mood to do the show on Sunday and we end up doing it, I'll just come on the air and start berating you again. So we have a reason to cancel.
No, I'll be in the mood to do it unless I'm at work. But again, we're not going.
Again, we keep saying we're not going there, but we're giving ourselves reasons to go there. We are two of the biggest people on the face of the planet.
Bossman's going to laugh at this.
Bossman is no saint himself.
Might be more
so
of a saint than us sometimes.
He can relate to pieces of shit.
Hi, Bossman, if you're listening. No, actually, no. They're doing their show now.
He shouldn't be listening.
Never mind.
He should be doing his own show.
Probably plugging us. And we, as with that said, we probably should end the show right now before we even go more off. And get
I was
more
just
going
to say, let's end this now while we're still under contract to Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Doug, for joining us tonight. And thank you, Daniel.
It was just you and I. Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
I mean, Daniel had some technical difficulties, so hopefully he gets his shit together on Sunday. I'm just joking.
Oh, I'm telling him.
Okay. Oh, man, I'm becoming you now.
Welcome to the dark side.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night. Good night, Doug.
Good night. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see y'all in hell.
Adios.
See ya.
Bye.